This is Rabbi Judah from Beth Messiah Messianic Synagogue, continuing my teaching, which I have titled The Theology of Sin, which deals with what is sin. And once again, this study is based on what the Bible teaches concerning sin. And as always, I'm teaching from the Tree of Life Bible, and I broke this down into 10 segments. We are actually in section 6. As we start this teaching, which is the heading, the sin nature, or the original sin. And we're going to begin where we left off last teaching and talk about the penalty for sin. So what would be the penalty for sin nature or original sin? The penalty involves two things. First is total depravity. By way of definition, total depravity does not mean that every man is as bad as he can get. Rather, total depravity means the unmerited state of man before God. None of man's works carry any merit before God. The second penalty for the sin nature is spiritual death. Because man inherits this sin nature upon conception, he is born spiritually dead. And this stems from Genesis 2:17, where we read, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you must not eat, for when you eat from it, you most assuredly will die." And then in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we read, "Now a natural man does not accept the things of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And finally, Ephesians 2, verse 1, verse 5, "If you were dead in your trespasses and sin," and then that's verse 1, jump down to verse 5, "even when we were dead in our sin and trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace, you have been saved." Now, the penalties for the sin nature carry with them four specific results. First, there is a corruption of the very nature of the soul, that is, the soul is rendered spiritually dead. Secondly, there is a loss of original righteousness. When Adam were created in the garden, they had original righteousness, but they lost it. Now the inclination of man is toward evil. The third result is that it is the nature of sin to include two things, guilt and corruption. Guilt refers to the outward aspect, corruption to the inward aspect. The fourth result is that the sin nature retains its character even in believers, and that is why believers still sin. And we want to talk about the next section, which we will call the remedy. What is the remedy for the sin nature? Now, the remedy involves three things containing a result. The first remedy is regeneration. Regeneration, which means to be born again, renders the dead spirit alive. The dead spirit which man is born with, because all are born spiritually dead, is now quickened or made alive. By regeneration, the believer becomes spiritually alive. The second remedy is redemption. Redemption brings with it a new nature or a new capacity to serve God with righteousness. The believer still retains his sin nature that does not go away with salvation. However, the believer now receives with it a new nature as a result of redemption. Redemption brings in a new nature or a new capacity to serve God with righteousness. The third remedy is the indwelling Holy Spirit, who provides power for victory over the judged sin nature. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the believer can gain victory over their own sin nature. When one believes on the Messiah Yeshua, he is regenerated, redeemed, and has the Holy Spirit indwelling him, and result is spiritual life. Now that finished that particular section the way I've divided this, and we're moving into what would be the seventh section, which deals with personal sin. Now, what exactly is personal sin? One key verse that deals with the concept of personal sin is Romans 3:23, which reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." As with the sin nature, the topic of personal sin will be broken down into five specific areas. The first one is meaning. Personal sin means acts of sin committed by believers before they believe on the Messiah Yeshua. While the sin nature is inward, personal sin is outward, acts of sin. These acts of sin are committed because of what a man is by nature. He is a sinner. He is a sinner because he inherited the sin nature. So personal sins are acts committed by individuals before they accept the Messiah. These may be willful, or they may be committed out of ignorance, but they are still acts of sin. The form of personal sin includes everything in daily life which is against or fails to conform to the character of God. Personal sin can be divided into various classifications depending on what they are related to. For example, as related to divine requirements, personal sins could be those of commission or omission. In relationship to object, personal sins could be against God, against a neighbor, or against oneself. As related to compass or direction, personal sin could be inward of the soul or outward of the body. In relationship with chargeableness, personal sin can be chargeable to self alone or others as partakers. In relationship to intention, personal sin could be voluntary or involuntary, out of ignorance, or committed because of passion. In relationship to sinfulness, personal sin comes in greater and lesser degrees. In relation to the Bible, it does teach of lesser and greater sins. And in relationship to subject, personal sins could be committed by the saved or the unsaved, or to the saved or unsaved, or against the saved or the unsaved. In relationship to God's justice, personal sin could be dealt with by God either because of God's vengeance or on the basis of his patience and long suffering. In relationship to forgiveness, personal sins are either forgiven or they are unforgiven. In relationship to cause, personal sin could be caused either by ignorance, impudence, malice, helplessness, or premeditation. In relationship to penalty, personal sins are partially judged in this world or they are going to be judged in the world to come. Now again, I'm going to break this up into some scriptures to show you I know what I'm talking about, because there are a number of scriptures that teach the concept of personal sins. In 1 Kings 8:50, we read, "Forgive your people who have sinned against you as well as their transgressions they have transgressed against you, and grant them mercy before their captors, that so that they may have mercy on them." So personal sins are simply violations of God's instructions. In Psalm 19, verses 13 and 14, we read, "Who can discern his errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. Also, keep your servant from willful sins. May they not have dominion over me. Then I will be blameless and free from great transgression." So personal sins can be presumptuous sins that are against God. Psalm 90 verse 8 reads, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. So this also speaks of secret sins, which are, of course, personal sins. Luke 15:21 reads, "Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your presence. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Teaches that personal sins are against heaven. Luke 23:34 reads, "But Yeshua was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' Then they cast lots, dividing up his clothing." And that teaches that personal sins can also be those of ignorance. John 19:11 reads, "Yeshua answered, 'You would have no authority over me if it hadn't been given you from above. For this reason, the one that handed me over to you has the greater sin.'" Speaks of greater and lesser personal sins. And then as you continue to read through Scripture, you have a lot of things happen. It speaks of Acts 3:17-19. Reads, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders did, but what God foretold through the mouth of his prophets, that his Messiah was to suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and return, so your sins might be forgiven." It speaks very clearly of sins committed out of ignorance. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 read, "Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." Talks about sinful actions. Galatians 5:19-21 read, "Now the deeds of the flesh are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom." And this speaks of sinful acts. And just like you deal with the concept of sinful acts throughout, like 1 Timothy 1:13, personal sins out of ignorance, the clear teaching of Scripture is the truth of personal sins. Acts of sins committed arise out of man's sinful nature. And the next segment deals with transmission. And the question we begin with is, how is a personal sin transmitted? Again, personal sins originate from the sin nature. Man commits sin because he has a sin nature. The sin nature is transmitted from Adam through the parents, and all receive the sin nature from the parents. The sin nature is inherited from parents upon conception, and then acts of sin are committed because of that sin nature. Now, according to Exodus 34:6-7, we read, "Then Adonai passed before him and proclaimed, 'Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, showing mercy to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, but bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" And that speaks of the consequences of one's personal sins could affect one's descendants for up to four generations. Because sometimes the justice of God requires the sins of the fathers be visited upon the children and the children's children that far, so the consequences of personal sin may affect one's descendants for as much as four generations. And now we will move to the penalty. There are two facets concerning the penalty for personal sins. The first is guilt. The unsaved sinner stands guilty before a righteous and holy God because of personal sins. A second facet of the penalty is that personal sins add to the degree of punishment to come in the afterlife in what is called the lake of fire, which is a place where God is not. Personal sins are committed by unbelievers, and they add to the degree of punishment for eternity, because there will be degrees of punishment. The result will be a state of lostness now, and if they do not believe on Yeshua the Messiah, it will entail forever. And we're going to just go to the remedy. What is the remedy for these problems? There are two facets involved in the remedy. The first is forgiveness. When a person accepts the Messiah Yeshua, he is forgiven for his sins, and it means that God removes the sin of the one who exercised faith in Messiah in the substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. That takes away the first penalty, the guilt of sin. The guilt is removed. The second facet is justification. Justification means to be declared righteous. And the one who follows the Lord Yeshua, our Messiah, is declared to be righteous. It also involves a declaration of non-guilt. It is a declaration of addition to Messiah's righteousness to the believing sinner, so that he is no longer in danger of eternal judgment, separated from God in what is called the lake of fire. The result of forgiveness and justification is what we consider personal salvation. I'm going to end this teaching with that concept. Again, I would ask you to give me feedback on any questions you have or how these are ministering to you. My email address is rabbijudah@bethmessiah.life, L-I-F-E. I appreciate those of you who are faithful to follow these teachings, and I would like to hear from you on what they are doing for you and how you are doing. Blessings to all of you. Shalom.